Very good Thursday, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Today is Tech Thursday, and in today's Tech Thursday episode, Taylor Charlstrom brings us a report about a new web-based tool providing seamless access to pest population data from a pest trapping network. And Kylie Harlan will have a report on Cooperative Extension's new disaster preparedness resource for the ag industry and the public. And I'll have a look at regional and national agricultural news, and we kick off with regional ag news right after this.
The Crop Consultant Conference returns on September 28th and 29th in Visalia, California. Co-hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and the Western Region Certified Crop Advisors Association, this two-day conference features two concurrent CE tracks for both PCAs and CCAs. Earn the DPR and CCA credits you need. Network on our trade show floor and join us in giving away scholarships and honorariums presented by Western Region CCA, including the CCA of the Year Award. Visit progressivecrop.com/conference.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is reminding producers the mission of the Office of Environmental Farming and Innovation is to serve California by supporting agricultural production and incentivizing practices resulting in a net benefit for the environment through innovation, efficient management, and science. CDFA will be hosting the next public meeting of the Environmental Farming Ag Science Advisory Panel on September 9th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Agenda and information, including other meeting information, is posted on the EFA SAP Meetings and Presentation page on the CDFA website. And the CDFA Pollinator Habitat Program is accepting grant applications. The 12-week application period opened on August 31st and will close on November 23rd at 5 p.m. Detailed information, including application processes, requirements, and webinars, can be found on the Pollinator Habitat Program webpage, which is also on the CDFA website. According to the USDA Natural Agricultural Statistics Service's California Crop Progress and Condition Report, average lows for California ranged from 33 to 64 degrees in the mountains last week, 46 to 73 along the coast, 46 to 80 degrees in the desert, and 55 to 77 in the Central Valley. Average highs for the state range from 57 to 97 in the mountains, 60 to 95 along the coast, 69 to 97 in the Central Valley, and 77 to 99 degrees in the desert. For fruit crops, peach, prune, nectarine, pear, quince, and plum harvests were ongoing. Wine grape and table grape harvests continued. Persimmons, kiwi fruits, and lemons steadily developed last week. Pomegranates were harvested. Irrigation continued in citrus groves to prevent fruit drop due to heat stress. Valencia orange quality was affected due to hot temperatures. Olive harvest began, and strawberry fields were prepped for fall planting. In the nut crops, spraying for weeds and irrigation continued where necessary. Almond and pistachio harvest continued steadily, with a second harvest on pistachios expected to begin soon in a few areas. Walnut harvest began in some parts of the state as development progressed in other areas. In the vegetable crops in the Sacramento Valley, harvest and fall field preparation paused due to rainfall. Fall carrots were planted and organic corn harvested near completion in Fresno County. In Stanislaus County, tomatoes and sweet potato harvest continued. Broccoli planting continued. In Tulare County, onions, tomatoes, squash, zucchini, and eggplant were harvested. In another report from the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Pacific Region Milk Production Report. Milk production during August totaled 3.46 billion pounds, up 2% from August of 2021 and down 2% from July of 2022. The number of milk cows on farms in California was 1.72 million head, up 4,000 from August of 2021 and unchanged from July of 2022. Production per cow in California averaged 2,005 pounds, up 35 pounds from August of 2021 and down 40 pounds from July of 2022. The Napa County Farm Bureau is proud to celebrate and acknowledge National Farm Health and Safety Week now through September 24th in Napa County. This annual promotion initiated by the National Safety Council has been proclaimed as such by each sitting U.S. president since Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1944. National Farm Health and Safety Week is led by the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety, the agricultural partner of the National Safety Council. The theme for the National Farm Health and Safety Week 2022 is protecting agriculture's future. This theme is one that reminds us that implementing the best health and safety practices in a workplace is in everyone's best interest to advance the future of agriculture, not only in Napa County, but throughout the nation. In Napa County, they have progressed through the stages of COVID-19, have created health and safety practices intended to be longstanding in the agricultural community in order to protect the health and welfare of workers and ensure that their safety is paramount. The latest recommendations from the CDC, Cal OSHA, U.S. Centers for Disease Control, and the UC Davis Western Center for Agricultural Health and Safety are being implemented by Farm Bureau members across the Napa Valley as long-term best practices in the workplace to mitigate COVID-19 to the greatest extent possible. Farm Bureau trainings for the agricultural community this year continue to place an emphasis on best safety practices in the workplace. Additionally, the Napa County Farm Bureau has partnered with the California Department of Food and Agriculture to promote mental health resources to the agricultural community. The California Farmer and Farm Worker Stress Assistance Project continues to offer free resources to manage stress and protect the mental and emotional wellness of farmers and farm workers. According to Marcon Cooperative, raw product supplies of iceberg, leaf, and other row crops in the Salinas Valley are being challenged due to the recent California heat wave and yield losses from soil diseases and plant viruses. Commodity and value-added lettuce items are both exhibiting heat stress, mildew pressure, reduced yields, and a noticeable decline in shelf life performance. Marcon Best Available is being substituted mostly due to light weights from growers reaching into younger fields. Value-added suppliers are allocating the best raw product for RSS packs, but it is extremely difficult to eliminate 100% of the damage from abnormally high temperatures, soil disease, and plant viruses. Chopped romaine and some baby leaf products are especially likely to have decreased shelf life for the next few weeks, but shredded lettuce and other salad blends will also have substandard performance. Maintaining the cold chain throughout distribution is critical for maximizing quality and shelf life.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
Taylor Schallstrom joins us next here on the show with this Tech Thursday report.
University of California personnel recently announced the creation of a new web-based tool that will provide more seamless access to pest population data from a pest trapping network. Pests included are thrips, diamondback moths, and aphids. They wanted to provide growers with a tool to view the most up-to-date lettuce pest population data available, and have developed an app to track pest populations over time throughout the Salinas Valley. Ben Lee created this app as a member of the Grettenberger Lab at UC Davis.
There's all this data that we were sitting on, and we wanted a way for folks to be able to look at that over time, look at the trends and changes over time, to be able to help inform their predictions now, as well as having the most up-to-date data that we have available in one location so that folks don't need to wait for like a regular blog release or meetings to be able to see all that. So we wanted this to kind of sit there as a link that folks can click on, be able to access all that data, play around with some of the historical data. They want to see how trends might play out in coming months, but to have one location where they can access information on all these different species.
Lee said the app is easy for growers, PCAs, and other ag professionals to use and can be viewed on an app on the phone in either the Apple or Android store or on a desktop.
Click the link for that app. It'll bring you up to a landing page that has a little tutorial about how to use it. But the main thing is there are tabs at the top to click on that let you see maps of the Salinas Valley that have different highlighted areas that represent in size and color of these circles on the map. They represent just how many insects were captured on average on sticky traps in that region. And so you can click up top to pick your pest of interest. Right now we have thrips, we have diamondback moths, and we have lettuce aphid as pest maps that you can see. And so on that page, it'll also give you some info for how trends have been over time. It'll let you know if this past week's count was higher or lower than the last week. And there's a little slider bar that lets you go back in time and see how these populations have changed throughout the year. So you can look back at a few months prior to figure out what the trends are looking like and see that change in real time on the map. So you can get an idea of what locations had spikes when and how those trends might change in the future. There's also a tab on the app that shows past year's data, including climate data. So it's got the average daily temperatures recorded at a couple of different weather stations throughout the valley. You get to pick whether you want the temperatures from closer to the coasts or further in on the valley. And you can, again, choose what pests you want to look at, the thrips, the DBM, or the lettuce aphids. But you can compare years. You can look at the most current data compared to how populations changed in 2021 and 2020 to get an idea of how this year might shape up too. So, like, for example, if you're looking at thrips for this year, we only have data, obviously, through September. But looking at past years in 2021 and 2022, there was a spike in populations in around October. That kind of petered out by January. So we wanted to provide this historical data so that folks could look at how trends were previously, how trends are this year, and maybe look at some of that temperature data and try and figure out whether or not they should expect big spikes in populations. None of it's like a predictive model, so there's not going to be, you know, any estimates on our end from there, but we wanted all the data available so that folks could look at past years and make their own predictions.
The researchers also hope to add more features in the future and are looking forward to feedback from the community for ways to improve the app or what data presentations would be useful in making management decisions.
We're looking primarily at some more climate variables to be included. We're thinking about including possibly wind for certain species, humidity and precipitation in the area, just some more information to be able to look at that alongside the population trends from this current year and past years to get some idea of how all these factors might have played into it. So that's the main thing we're looking at expanding on right now. In the future, it's possible we'll look at other pests or other regions. But we don't have any more plans to expand beyond that just yet. So we're going to focus on these three pests and in this area. But if there's any other information that folks are interested in seeing, that's kind of the feedback that we'd want to get and see what we want to include that would be most helpful to folks.
Lee said this type of technology is not necessarily exclusive to Central Coast pests like those in the Salinas Valley and could be replicated in other pests and other crops, even permanent crops.
The reason why this app was so easy to throw together is because the quality of the sampling data that Daniel's been collecting down there. So really in any regions where there's robust sampling data, we can get consistent data from the same regions to be able to track those trends over time. Those are the kinds of, if those sampling networks are established, then it's really easy to kind of throw together a visualization like this. And we think that having some of the visuals involved and presenting the data in a pretty easy to interpret format to be able to just check the link and look at it really quickly, I think that format could work in a lot of different regions and different crops too. Hoping to see more like this in the future.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
U.S. farm exports will not only mark a record this year, but should also become the fastest growing share of all U.S. exports. Tight world supplies and high food prices had already prompted a record USDA ag export forecast of $196 billion for the fiscal year ending this month. Now USDA economist Jane Kaufman says that farm export values are growing faster than exports of all U.S. goods and grabbing a larger share of total U.S. export business.
From 9% in 2002 to 12% in 2021.
While the dollar value of ag exports grew at about 11% a year versus 6% average for all other exports. One reason for that is...
there's been relatively slow growth of exports of capital goods, like machinery and automobiles.
But a key reason is the high prices of ag commodities and food.
But there's also been extremely strong demand.
Part of the reason for that is that the war in Ukraine causing tight global supplies as Russia destroys farming facilities, steals grain, and damages ports, despite a UN Turkish broker deal to free up shipping. USA's Foreign Agricultural Service yesterday announced grants for research and educational partnerships focused on climate-smart agriculture in tropical countries. Foreign Agriculture Service Administrator Daniel Whitley announced the $300,000 in funding to six universities. Whitley says they're confident they can collaborate on climate solutions that contribute to food security and agricultural sustainability, both locally and globally. The Foreign Agricultural Service is awarding the funds under the Scientific Cooperation Research Program. FAS is awarding approximately $50,000 each to Tennessee State University, the University of Hawaii at Manoa, Texas State University, the University of Missouri, University of Nebraska, and Louisiana State University. Legislation introduced last week would remove burdensome government regulations from the trucking industry, according to Senator Mike Rounds. The South Dakota Republican introduced the Trucking Regulations Unduly Constricting Known Service Providers, or TRUCS Act. Rounds says the regulations are burdensome to agriculture, school districts, and trucking companies. In 2012, then-President Obama signed into legislation that set in motion a new rule that created a requirement for entry-level driver training. The final rulemaking went into effect earlier this year. All new drivers who wish to obtain their commercial driver's license must now complete entry-level driver training, adding a burdensome requirement at a time when the American Trucking Association estimates a nationwide trucker shortage of 80,000 drivers. The bill would allow states to issue a new small business restricted CDL, so entry-level driver training requirements would not affect small businesses with 9 CDLs or less. The U.S. Custom Harvesters have endorsed the legislation. The Climate Smart Agriculture Partnerships funding announced last week has some environmental groups drawing criticism. While welcomed by many in the food and agriculture sector, environmental group Friends of the Earth says some of the funding recipients are unacceptable. Funding recipients and partners include a range of corporations, universities, non-governmental organizations, trade associations, farms, tribal organizations, and state agencies. USDA is expected to soon make another announcement of $700 million for smaller projects under this initiative. Jason Davison, senior food and agriculture campaigner at Friends of the Earth, says unfortunately, several of them will funnel tens of millions of taxpayer dollars to some of the most egregious climate offenders, big ag corporations like JBS, Cargill, and ADM. Davison adds that many of these corporations and trade associations have historically fought climate mitigation measures, refusing to report data on their emissions and other pollution. Friends of the Earth called on Congress and the Department of Agriculture to ensure transparency and accountability for the projects. And milk production in the United States continues to run higher than a year ago, USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
According to Monday's USDA milk production report,
what we're looking at is a slow growth in the number of milk cows in the U.S. herd.
USDA livestock analyst Shale Shagum, the report puts the number of milk cows on farms in August at a bit over 9.4 million head. That's about 11,000 fewer than in August of last year, 8,000 more than this past July. On the other hand,
we did see a decline in milk per cow in August from July.
But even so, USDA reports milk per cow in August averaging 2,018 pounds, which is still 34 pounds higher than August of 2021. Total milk production in the U.S. in August, 19 billion pounds, up 1.6% from August of 2021. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And since it is National Farm Health and Safety Awareness Week, here are some tips to avoid electrocution. Know the height of your equipment. Do not drive under any power lines if any part of the equipment is too tall to clear them. Be aware of your turning radius. Make sure all equipment does not swing into poles or overhead lines when turning. Pay special attention at the end of rows and at field entrances. Stay alert, especially if it gets dark, and know where the poles and lines are located at all times. Never assume a power line is safe to touch. Know what to do if an overhead line is contacting equipment. Stay on the equipment. Do not step onto the ground while touching the equipment. Call 911 and wait until a qualified person can verify the line is not energized and tell you when it is safe to exit the vehicle. If you must leave the equipment because of fire or some other danger, try to jump clear of the equipment so you don't touch the equipment or the ground at the same time. Land with both feet together, shuffle away, keeping your feet together on the ground. According to the National Ag Safety Database, every year 62 farm workers are killed from electricity-related accidents on average. In addition, 3.6% of deaths among youth under 20 years old are caused by electrocution.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
Up next is Kylie Harlan reporting on Cooperative Extension's new disaster preparedness resource for the ag industry and the public.
The University of California Cooperative Extension has created a disaster preparedness website to help Californians prepare for extreme heat, earthquakes, public safety power shutoffs, and wildfires. Susie Coker, Forestry Advisor for the UC Cooperative Extension in the Central Sierra Nevada region, talks with us more about the disasters that Californians should keep in mind.
I think Californians really are aware of wildfires right now. We know that wildfires have been increasing in scope and severity for the last few years. 2020 was a huge year. 2021 was large. So far, we don't have as many acres burned this year, but there's still plenty of year left. So I think most people that I work with in California are aware that it's a huge issue and it's something we should all be prepared for. Wildfire weather can lead to public safety power shutoffs, and so those things can move together. In addition, you can have rain on recently burned areas leading to flooding or debris flows. So yeah, unfortunately, we have seen a whole lot more of those sort of cascading disasters happening to us in California as well.
The website ucanr.edu/disaster has recently been updated. Fact sheets with tips on preparedness and safety can be found on the website as well as on social media platforms.
Well, we recently had funding through a program called Renewable Resources Extension Act, and we were able to hire a student intern on the UC Davis campus to help us develop a series of fact sheets and to upgrade our disaster website. So we have started to put resources together, things that are asked for a lot from our colleagues and clientele that we work with. So right now we have fact sheets developed on dealing with extreme heat, dealing with smoke. We're working on some on flooding and thunderstorms. We also have an earthquake safety one. It's interesting. We developed this outreach campaign to let people know we had these resources, and we chose to advertise one resource per week during disaster preparation month, which is September. And it's been uncanny that the week we started to advertise extreme heat and the resources around that, we had extreme heat. And then we had smoke information all signed up to go. And that's the week that most people are getting hit with smoke. I'm sorry that people are going through it, but it also feels good to be able to send out easy to understand information and links so that people can be prepared.
For California's ag producers, being prepared for disasters can look different from the typical Californian's plan. Coker shares more on how producers can stay vigilant and be prepared.
Well, we actually did a survey of a lot of our clientele in Cooperative Extension. We work with a lot of growers and ag producers and asked them how recent public safety power shutoffs had affected them. And so I do see there's a lot of interest and information on especially alternative energy and power sources. There's just a lot of interest for people in small businesses to try and figure out how to be more resilient. So I think thinking through all of those types of disasters that could happen to you, including power shutoffs, wildfires, and figuring out how your business can be resilient to those. That's a lot of different types of information. Another one of the resource two-page fact sheets we put together on is on fuels reduction. We do have some expertise on ranch readiness for wildfires, and we work with organizations who do classes on that. So I would just suggest mapping out what you think is the most likely to happen to you in your location and coming up with a readiness plan for power shutoffs, wildfires. If you're in the Central Valley, it could be flooding. You know, how are you going to maintain your operations in those types of situations? And what's your backup plan? What's your evacuation plan? How are you going to deal with your animals? Another program that a number of us in Extension have is called the Ag Pass program. And different counties are implementing this. It's a system by which agricultural producers can be certified as producers. So if there's a wildfire and they're evacuated and they go to an evacuation blockade, that they can show that and get through and be able to water their animals or do whatever they need to do for their production. So I would definitely encourage any producers to contact their local Extension office and see if there's an Ag Pass program being put in place in their county.
Coker said climate change has impacted weather variability, meaning that is now more important than ever to be prepared for a potential disaster.
We know that climate change has a lot of impacts, and one of them is an increased variability in weather. And so we're in the middle of a big drought, but we also have an increased risk of a, you know, mega flood at the same time. We have more strong heat waves, and that brings in thunderstorms. And so climate change is really at the bottom of a lot of this increase in disasters. We would be having disasters anyway, but this climate change signature is all over this current cascading of disasters. So being resilient to these climate change events, I think, is going to become more and more important to all Californians, especially ag producers and forest landowners, all of us, because we need to be more ready for these events than we would have been in the past.
This is Kylie Harlan reporting for My Ag Life.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.